You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Coming to the site now, I've got my Do Not Draft list that we've talked about in the show. There are updated rookie rankings. We've got updates on the battles going on across the league, rookie running back stock watch, all kinds of good stuff. And you can check out all things I broke down, as well as previous Locked On Fantasy Football shows. We did a stock watch for the entire league through all positions on our previous show. On today's show, we're going to focus on something that I addressed there on SN.com. I've gone through a lot of expert drafts over the years, different size leagues, 10 teams, 12 teams, 14 team. Standard, PPR, all kinds of things I've looked at, and today I'm going to share some of that wisdom with you on things that you may not think about as much in your draft strategy, and we're looking specifically at snake drafts and how to approach them and the way to get the job done. So I have some key pieces of advice here that I'm happy to share today's show. So let's dive right into it. The first thing you want to do before you get there, consider this the epilogue of what you're thinking about in fantasy football, is the preparation. Before you even get your draft position, you can go mess around with the rankings, look at your cheat sheet, be prepared. And then once you get and draw your draft position, you want to use the knowledge you have, listen to everything you can, make adjustments to your sheet, and then apply them to a mock draft. And you have to mock draft as much as you can. There's a lot of tools to help you do that. Fantasy Pros will do that. If you're on Yahoo or CBS, they have ways to do that as well. So it's a good idea. You want to be on different sites. If your league plays through Yahoo, but Fantasy Pros is easier, you want to use both there to kind of get the different sense of results on what you can expect with how you draft and how it goes down. So preparedness is the best thing to have, whether you have got that 2 minutes on the clock or 3 minutes on the clock with the automatic online picks, or if you've got a little longer because you're doing it in person and everyone's starting to get on your nerves, or you get nervous in front of everyone else and don't want to make an embarrassing pick in relation to your friends, don't worry about all that. Be prepared. Go in. Know what you're doing. Have fun at your draft, but also have a winning game plan. Go into it, and you can't lose. Well, the first piece of advice I'll give you is you got to think big picture. So first round, a lot of people say, who should I take in the first round? I've got pick 5 or pick 7 or pick 10, or I'm at the bottom there where I get 12 and then I come back with 13. Well, the bottom line is it doesn't really matter where you're drafting and who you take with that first pick. It's really who you take with that first pick, but also with the 4 picks that come after it. And I kind of look at that as the drop-off there, this top 60 picks in a 12-team league. That's kind of where the drop-off begins after that in terms of the talent of players. I feel really good about most of the players there in the top 60 across positions. There are some guys I like more than others, some guys I'm going to avoid there in the top 60, but when you look at the pool of talent and opportunity and situation, those are the players best set up to succeed and a little bit easier to predict in this very unpredictable game. So that's what you look at. So if you take that wide receiver 1 in the first round, chances are you're going to look at an RB1 in the second round. But overall, I think you want to come away with RB1, RB2, wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2. That's in a league where you start 3 wide receivers, 2 RBs, and maybe a flex. That's the plan. I think it puts a greater emphasis on getting another RB or wide receiver if you do employ a flex league and come out with some combination of 2 and 3 out of those first 5 rounds. So that's what you have to look at. If there's a quarterback or tight end you really want and he fits the value and you're not reaching, then you can look at that alternative position strategy there. But overall, you want to come away with two running backs and two wide receivers with your first five picks. And you kind of want to plot out what kind of values you're going to have there and know exactly what kind of production you're going to get immediately week after week. So if you don't fill out those, say, four positions, they're in a good shape because this is the core of your team. These are the guys that are going to be out there regularly week after week, hopefully that you don't change barring injury or something wild happening with them totally falling off a cliff. That this is what you have to look at. You have to look at it as a whole versus that first pick and how much is he going to carry. You want to see what points you're going to have week after week over five guys. Now, running backs. There's always a question on running backs. Some people will get way enamored with running backs and keep taking them over and over again. I don't think there's anything wrong with these people because running back, we know injury can be devastating there. There's a lot of bust potential with those early picks in the first and second round because of injuries, because of ineffectiveness, because of things that change. We think about JHI last year. Didn't work out at all as such a high pick for the Dolphins because then he got traded in the middle of the season. Things really shook up there for Ajayi. He was serviceable at the end and useful, but definitely did not live up to his high RB1 status. So things are going to change there. So you want to make sure you have all to the way to adapt. And running back is simply hard to get on the waiver wire the way you want it. There will be guys that pop up out of nowhere still with the guys we know that a whole bunch of people will pop up out of nowhere. But overall, you're looking at this position and you can never have enough, basically, is the answer. And it's always good practice if you have an early pick there to use a handcuff. It's worth the pick there to protect your assets. So you got Todd Gurley. Go look at John Kelly, who's now the Rams leader to be the backup there behind him. So all those things you have to consider. So when you look at backups and guys that can swing, PPR type receiving backs, upside guys you're stashing that you hope are going to win a job later, rookies that have come into the league, a lot of rookies may not have the job right away, but you know they're going to have big roles. You might draft them a little earlier. You might want to cover your bases by drafting the veteran who might be in there initially in some cases, like LeGarrette Blount or Devontae Booker there. So that's what you have to look at. And in the end, you carrying probably twice as many as you start is a minimum. I think if you're in a 2 RB league with no flex, you still look for 5. If it's 3 RBs that you can use with the flex, I still think you look for 6. So you have to keep your options open because running backs are different now. They're deeper in one sense after you get the studs because there's different committees where there's value in 2 guys that we didn't have before. But you just want to have all those options on the table so you can also have some versatility and play the matchups at that position. And what would you do at wide receiver? Well, I think the real thing at wide receiver to look at is get that guy early. A lot of people just say, I'm going to get my running backs early, go into RB1 or RB2, and go from there or take a luxury pick and a tight end or a quarterback. But you got to get at least one of those top 15 receivers early if you can. So it just makes a big difference when you have a wide receiver 1. You don't want to dip into the wide receiver 2 and have basically to the point where you're relying on maybe 3 guys that are wide receiver 3 when you don't have a clear-cut number 1 there. You want more of them to perform like a 1 than more of them to perform like a 3. So what I like to do is get that one guy that I know for volume, whether it's Antonio Brown or Julio Jones or Odell Beckham Jr. In 1 year, I think when it was more wide receiver heavy, I went with 2 of those guys, Antonio Brown and Julio Jones. I wasn't disappointed at all. I did take a hit a bit of running back, but that's when the values were different. But now that shows you in this running back heavy, top heavy world where still taking an elite wide receiver is pretty critical. And that's definitely what you need to see here in the draft. Get one of those guys, then you kind of mix it up. Get the veteran possession types, get the slot guys, get some big play guys. So you have a baseline for good production every week. It's a very volatile position. And then you go back and see, where can I mix his portfolio, play the matchup so I have the best possible three guys out there week after week. So, again, you don't need to go as nuts if you're in a three wide receiver league. Hopefully that one will be a regular starter, maybe two will be, and then you can kind of rotate maybe three guys for that third spot. So a lot of things to consider there when you go at wide receiver. I'm happy to announce one of my favorite sister shows on the network. I love all the shows, but Locked On NFL, hosted by Matt Williamson, has now become Locked On NFL of Experts. He's got a brand new lineup for you. Matt, joining him every Monday, will be Locked On Local Experts on the biggest stories. Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus will join every Wednesday. And then Mike Sando, great insight at ESPN, will join Matt Williamson on Thursday. So be sure to follow Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, to get this amazing content now. I'm looking forward to listening to that because it'll be awesome. And there are some exciting changes ahead as well to Locked On Fantasy Football in the same vein. So don't want to spoil any of that, but it's going to get bigger and better here on this side as well to match the reality things we have going on great with Matt. So check out that podcast for sure here on the network. Now, before we left, we looked at the early parts of your draft strategy related to the rounds and how you take running backs and wide receivers early. Well, that's part of the equation. Another part would be taking the quarterbacks late. And you can fall into a trap, and I bring up this example from last year that I took Aaron Rodgers early, hurt myself, had some deficiencies at other position when he went down. But then I had Carson Wentz later. I just drafted Wentz later, and I asked myself, why didn't I just take Carson Wentz later and found another guy, maybe if he didn't work out in a breakout season, and go from there. But in the end, I probably invested too much of a pick on Rodgers because he went down. If he stays healthy and studly and consistent, that's a different story. But if there's no guy like Tom Brady in 2007 or Peyton Manning with his record-breaking year a few years ago with the Broncos, if there's no guy standing out way above everybody else, then it's pretty close to what you think. And Aaron Rodgers, to me, even though he's a consensus number one, I don't think he's necessarily going to outproduce guys like Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. Wilson was the highest scorer last year, stayed healthy. Watson, when healthy, averaged by far the most points per game in fantasy last year among quarterbacks. So you don't even know who the number one is. And if you go reaching a little bit, then you're going to give up some points. And the difference is not that big. While you're giving up a shot at really loading up your team at a running back or wide receiver before the best talent is gone there, like I mentioned in the first five rounds. So I think you just have to wait, watch what teams are taking quarterbacks in your league, check it off, do a little logic problem, know who's off the board there at QB. So then you have an idea, okay, so half my league already has QBs. I can wait a little bit, get the values I want. There's plenty of values at quarterback. There's not much difference from the QB 6 to 8 to 16 to 18, to be honest with you. So wait, get a couple options, play the matchups, play like an advanced streaming game where you're not just picking up guys off the wire or free agency every week to play, but you have a couple guys that you can platoon and get some very good production out of week after week. So quarterbacks, this is the year definitely to play the waiting game on quarterbacks, no doubt about it. Same thing goes for tight ends this year because, again, you have that holy trinity triumvirate there, whatever you want to call it, Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz. They're clearly solid. You know they're going to produce. They're ahead of everyone else. They have the fewest question marks. Gronk doesn't even have the injury issues he has anymore. You have to go full speed ahead because he can dominate there. Travis Kelce just keeps rolling on. Zach Ertz, after his big breakout year, with no Trey Burton in there, no Brent Celek. He's got Dallas Goedert behind him, the rookie tight end. Big years ahead for those three guys. But after that, Greg Olsen, you're a little concerned, getting older, coming off an injury. Jimmy Graham always seemed to be banged up, very old at this point. So those are the next guys. Delanie Walker, you can put him in that category as well, older tight end. So then you're starting to get into that Jordan Reed territory, Do you completely trust Evan Engram in this Giants offense? So when you get to that point, again, you're looking, what is the difference between waiting for like a David Njoku or George Kittle, sleepers like that, that are going to be available later in the draft? And I go even deeper, Eric Ebron, Vance McDonald, Austin Seferian Jenkins. So many flyers later that can be very productive for you at tight end. I mean, one guy that is kind of under the radar is Benjamin Watson, returning to where he's pretty productive. Coming over from the Ravens, was decent last year, goes to the Saints where he had his best year of late. They're producing. So this position has a lot of value, more than people think, and can't be afraid there. Just wait it out. You can even stream tight ends at this position, get a couple guys there that you like that could do something and make it work. And tight ends, the good thing about it, you can always look at the waiver wire and find somebody. There is always help at tight end, and surprises are going to occur at this position. So all those things you have to keep in mind and go from there, tight end. But I think it's especially important if you get to a point where you see Gronk or Kelce or Ertz me having a lot more appeal than the wide receiver that you could take at that spot, then I would definitely go there. But if not, and the wide receiver seems a lot better, just avoid and wait. Take your time at tight end. You're not going to have much difference again if you go from number 4 to maybe number 15 at this position. So you're just looking for a guy that can occasionally score and make a big play for you. The next thing I'll talk about is know who you're taking. It seems simple, and why you're taking him. So just don't take a guy because you liked him, or you heard of him, or you liked his ad on TV, or you root for his college or pro team. That's not a good enough reason. Or you just say, oh, okay, I kind of like this guy. Have a specific plan for him in mind. Is he going to be a potential starter for you? Is it pure backup if something happens? Is he a handcuff? Are you just taking him for his upside there in talent? You always want to keep thinking about guys that can help your team in some way, and not just say, okay, I like this guy kind of, but how does he fit in? Is he useful for you? Are you taking a second tight end for no good reason when you could have a running back that could give you a little bit more value? So that's what you have to consider. Really know why you're picking the guy, what role he's kind of tabbed for initially. Things that can obviously change. I remember Adam Thielen last year taken way down there as a wide receiver 5 or 6, but then he emerged as a kind of a wide receiver 1. So all of a sudden you didn't throw away that pick. You were thinking about, hey, I've heard Adam Thielen could be good and what he can give me here. The Vikings offense has produced a little well there, and then you ended up with a steal that turned into a starters that high-end more so than you thought. So don't throw away picks. Don't lock into any favoritism for silly reasons. Draft based on value and keep thinking about guys who can help your team across positions. Sounds simple. It is, but you can lose sight of this during the draft when emotions and all get in there and you get a little bored and maybe had a few to drink later in the draft. And another thing I would say is don't be a lemming and follow people on runs here. Somebody will throw out the name of a first quarterback and say, oh, I like quarterback. That sounds good here. Or tight end or a defense or even a kicker. And someone will say, all right, I better draft that. And you'll see like 4 or 5 or 6 come off the board. Don't do that. Don't fall. Don't be suggested or influenced by other people. Stick to your guns. Go with your game plan. And it's okay to deviate from the rankings. Other people could be using a certain ranking, something that they see on ESPN or Yahoo or Fantasy Pros, and you're using something completely different. You've adjusted things based on your knowledge as well, had your input. That's fine. So don't be afraid to go for guys that everyone may not be on, but you particularly like, and you know you can't get later. Just think your own way. Go with your own gut, be confident in your picks, and don't be influenced into going into other picks, because you have as much knowledge as anyone there in your draft room, and take advantage of that and don't shy away from it and just follow the lead of other people in your leagues. Another piece of advice here is don't worry too much about buys, and buys are can be tricky at times if you have multiple players off on a bye, but that only means your team's going to be fine for another week. That means you only have to have a bye week headache for 1 week, and not multiple weeks where you have one or two guys off consistently and you're always trying to fill holes. So it's not necessarily bad to have a lot of players on the same bye. That includes having the players on the same team. If you have them on the same team, then it's okay because the team could be really good. If it's a really bad team and you're loading up and has no offensive firepower whatsoever, then you don't want a part of it. You want to shy away from those type of situations, even the stack with a quarterback and wide receiver. But if you've got an elite offense with a top quarterback and wide receiver, say it's Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, hey, you want to mix in Alvin Kamara in that mix? Sure, go ahead, do that. No one's going to say that that was a bad team going forward, even though you had three Saints on the team because they're three special Saints. And you know that team's going to score a lot of points. They can deliver independently each other. You're not stealing from each other's points. You're in a way adding because you're complementing the players on your team. So I wouldn't worry too much about buys again. I think people have to look at buys a little bit. So if you get a backup that he's not off on the same time as your starter, but that's about it when it comes to buys to consider. Less and less of a thing to worry about in fantasy football going forward. Now, another fantastic bit of news for one of our Locked On NFL Network podcasts, Locked On NFL Draft. The incredible daily NFL Draft podcast has a new friend on the network. Draft Dudes is now part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs bring their draft takes every day on Draft Dudes. Again, just like Locked On NFL and this show, follow on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to get another NFL Draft insider take from the fine folks here at Locked On Network. And don't forget, for you college fans, we're soon going to have the College Podcast Network launching in August. So in addition to the couple shows on the draft here, Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes, we'll have yet another show there to break down the future prospects of the NFL now in terms of what they're doing in college. So check all that out. Very exciting. And if you're new to this network, it's a lot of fun. You'll be the smartest person when it comes to football, whether it's NFL, college, reality, or fantasy. And I'm glad that you're part of this and listening to us. You'll enjoy being a part of it going forward. Now, let's leave with two last bits of advice on fantasy football here, and two basic things that people also get wrong. Don't reach on a defense, and think about taking two. Now, what I'm going to explain here is it might seem weird to take two defenses late instead of one defense kind of in the middle, but I don't believe in locking into a defense at all. It's impossible. There's too many good offensive teams in this league where the matchups can go south for anybody and give you disappointing production. I want to exploit some bad offenses here for my defenses. I want a talented defense, but I want a couple options because it's volatile. The rankings very much can vary from the final results and production there. And some teams that are unheralded because people don't know about coaches, schemes, personnel changes, all these things that have a big effect on the production when it comes to fantasy football, and that's purely sacks, takeaways, and all that. So you want to maybe take a couple sleepers late with a favorable schedule. That way you're covered early part of the season. You can look at the waiver and kind of stack and mix and match and do whatever you want there with your defenses. So it's good to stay a little ahead of the game on defense. And defense, it's not quite throwaway like kicker. You want to keep it in mind. It can be a sneaky source of points. The Jaguars defense was a big-time scorer last year. It rivaled having a QB2 in there in your lineup. So that's how good the Jaguars were, but you don't want to reach for that team. If you get them in a good value, then so be it. And if you have a couple in mind, but you're not sure who's going to be the better one, take two, at least one with a reasonable opening game or two, maybe three or four, and then get that production there. And finally, don't take a kicker until the last round. I think someday we'll totally boot the kicker, so to speak, out of fantasy football for good. I'm glad it's not a big part of DFS. So when you look at all that, kickers should be devalued, and hopefully your league doesn't reward them too much. They give them like 6 points for a 50-yard field goal or something ridiculous. Because then if you have a booming leg and you have guys that are on teams that are on red zone deficient but offensively proficient, it shouldn't affect the rest of the scoring so much where a guy scores 15, 16 points here. So they should be devalued there, but you should totally devalue them regardless of that, because you don't know who the best kickers are anyway, and it's a week-to-week streaming proposition as well, if you'd like to play it that way. So save the kicker to your last round, round 17 or round 16. Do not take that kicker before. There's no point to it, and you're just wasting a pick. So there you have it. There's another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football as we cover every angle on the path to your fantasy football drafts in 2018. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Vinny Iyer for the entire Locked On NFL Network. We'll see you next time on Locked On Fantasy Football.